If you do have a Bible, please have it open at Luke 24. Surprises come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. Sometimes they're expected. How many times have children woken up on their birthdays and asked, "What surprises have you got for me today?" Maybe some adults do that as well. I don't know. At other times, surprises are completely unexpected. There's certain TV shows, aren't there, where they always start off with a celebrity knocking on the door and there's some surprise person answering and the celebrity's turned up to redo their garden or to redo their house. At other times, there's a different sort of surprise. When someone says that they're going to do something nice and good for us, but we don't believe that they're going to do it, and then we completely forget about it. So when they keep their word, and that surprise happens, then we really are filled with joy and surprise. What sort of surprise do you prefer? The expected, the unexpected, or the fulfillment of a forgotten promise? When it comes to Easter Sunday, the one thing that really stands out is how the resurrection was a surprise for Jesus' disciples and for his followers. As we can see clearly in our passage this morning, the surprise they experienced was the surprise that someone feels when a forgotten promise has been kept, when a doubted promise has been fulfilled. They should not have been surprised when they found the tomb empty. Jesus had clearly told them time and time again that after 3 days he would rise. But clearly, when the day arrived, it just filled them with surprise. For us today, we're so familiar with the Gospels and with what happened on that first Easter Sunday that the events that happened, we just know. We know the end of the story, don't we? So we don't have that sense of surprise. So it's helpful for us to look back at the Gospels and to see what happened on that first Easter Sunday to really grasp the surprise that Jesus is alive. And as we think about that, we need to be thinking about what it means for us today as well. So let's start off with what happened on that first Easter Sunday as recorded in Luke's Gospel. We joined the women who were there at the cross. They were standing at a distance watching Jesus die. And when we get to this point in the Gospels, it's the women who are the real heroes. There's only record of one of the disciples being present at the cross. The others had all gone into hiding. They watched the Lord die on the cross. They were with him to the end. And then they were the first ones to go to the tomb. At the first possible moment, as the sun rises on that third day, they're off to the tomb to give Jesus his funeral rites. And here these ladies are showing incredible love. And no doubt they are grief-stricken. It's been a terrible, terrible time for them. So they've been there on what we call Good Friday, as they've seen Jesus died, and then he's buried in the tomb. And that little portion of the day, that counts as one day in the way that the Jews reckon their time. And then you've got the Saturday, the Sabbath, a whole day. And what a terrible day that must have been. Can you imagine what they were thinking? And yet at the same time, they kept the Sabbath regulations. They stayed at home and they didn't go to the tomb. And then the next day, which would be classed as the third day, as soon as the sun starts rising, at the first possible moment, they're there, they're going to the tomb. And they know exactly where to go. When it comes to the resurrection, lots of people try and find reasons to say, "Oh, it didn't happen, the disciples were deluded." And one of the things that they say is, they went to the wrong tomb. They were strangers in Jerusalem. They didn't really know where they were going. They went to the wrong place. But that's to overlook the fact that we see in Luke's Gospel that the women had watched Jesus being laid in the tomb. They'd been there just a day and a bit earlier. So they knew exactly where they were going. And as they approached that tomb, they thought they knew what they were going to find. They were expecting to find Jesus' body in the tomb. But when they got there, of course, there is that incredible surprise. Because the tomb is not only open, it's empty. And at this point, you can imagine what they are thinking. The NIV translates the word there in the Greek as wondered, but perplexed or confused might be a better way of understanding it. Then to their utter astonishment, a pair of angels turn up and ask them, "What are you doing looking for a living person in a graveyard?" Now, sometimes people do meet friends in a graveyard or something like that, but most of the time, people go to a graveyard to remember those who have died. And they're going to this graveyard to honor Jesus' body for the last time. And yet the angel says, saying, "What are you doing looking for a living person in a graveyard? Don't you remember? He told you that this would happen." And at that moment, the penny drops. They remember what Jesus had said and they head straight back to the disciples. And you can imagine there'd be quite a difference in their mental state between going to the tomb and coming back. And certainly in those videos, we got an impression, didn't we, of the excitement that the women had when they discovered the tomb was empty and they were told that Jesus was alive. So what we have here is the case of the Lord Jesus Christ making a promise to his followers, which they have not believed, and then they had forgotten. So when he keeps his word, it's a real unexpected surprise for them. And this reminds us that Jesus always keeps his word. If he says he's going to do something, we can be certain that he is going to do it. And the sort of resurrection that Jesus went through was completely unexpected and different to what the Jews had been thinking about. We think that when Jesus was talking about resurrection, his disciples understood it as referring to a general resurrection at the end of time, which everyone will go through. And it's true, everyone will be resurrected. They thought he was thinking about that. They were not expecting him to come out of the tomb just 3 days later. Yet that's exactly what he said he would do, and that's exactly what he did. Jesus had clearly taught, "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." They just haven't understood what he had been talking about, even though he spoke clearly. They lacked the faith to think outside of their own expectations. Now, most of us here are unlikely to be guilty of failing to believe that Christ would rise again. We've heard the story so many times, and we know how it ends, and it's a bedrock. It's part of the foundation of our faith. What we may be guilty of is not trusting in some of his other promises. When we think about evangelism and outreach, do we really believe that everyone who goes to Jesus will be saved? And yet that's clearly what Jesus teaches. All who come to me will be saved. No one is too bad or no one is too far from God. The offer of salvation is open and available to all, and all who go to Jesus will be rescued. Case in point is the Apostle Paul. He was a terrible sinner. He was a true enemy of the gospel. He'd arrested members of the church. He'd even been involved in having them executed. And yet when he met the risen Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was saved. If someone like him can be saved, then there is hope for anyone. Another area where we may doubt Christ's promise is about his return. Each year, the world rotates on. We've explored and discovered most of its surface. We've developed all sorts of wonderful technology. Our population has grown into billions of people around this globe. And many folk, especially in the Western world, have completely forgotten about God. We live such comfortable lives now. People don't need God anymore, so they forget about him. They don't think about the big questions, about what life is, where does life come from, and what happens next. A lot of people think that once you're dead, you're dead. But that's not the case at all. We all know that we are special. Deep down inside us, there's something that makes us feel that we've got real value. And if we were just some sort of clever ape, and once we were dead, that's it, then why do we feel that way? We feel that way because we are people who are made up of a body and a soul. And that soul, it continues after we die, and it goes somewhere. God has given us that soul when we're conceived, and that soul goes back to the one who has made us once our bodies die. Every person in this room will come face to face with the God who has given them life. It doesn't matter if you believe in him or not. It's as certain as the sky being blue. One day you will come face to face with him. And Jesus has said that it is possible to be right with God if you put your trust in what Jesus has done. Because the problem we have, the problem that everyone has, is that God has got a certain standard which he expects us to behave to. And our problem, our rebellion, if you could call it that, is that we all live for ourselves and we forget about God. And when we forget about God and we reject Jesus, we're certainly not meeting God's standards, which means that we're going to be in trouble when we meet him. But all those that put their trust in Jesus can be forgiven and have that fresh start with God. So Jesus has promised that all those who trust in him can have that fresh start with God, which brings peace with God, and it brings help and hope for today. And when you die, it means that there's nothing to fear because you will go to be with Jesus. That's one of the wonderful promises that he gives us. But we've forgotten about that here in the UK. Most of us live lives of plenty with good health and we have plenty of leisure time. When you look at our lives compared to the lives of people who lived before us, most of us have a better standard of living than people who were in the royal family did in the medieval period. We are comfortable and secure and we have everything we need and many of the things that we want. As Christians living in this society of plenty and this society of distraction, do we really believe that Jesus will one day return? Do we long for his return? I think many Christians in the Western world have got so tied into the way that we live today and so distracted by the good things of this world that we don't think about these things whatsoever. We're quite happy today and we don't ponder it. However, I expect that in poorer parts of the world, and certainly in areas where the church is persecuted, where people are put in prison and even killed because they're Christians, those people are looking to the sky each and every day. Maybe the attitude in the West is fulfilling some of the conditions of Christ's return. In Luke 18, verse 8, Jesus says, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" And we can see our society moving in that direction where true believers are getting less and less and less. But even though we may be decreasing in number, it does not change the Lord's promises. Jesus has promised that one day he will return. And him keeping that promise is as certain as him keeping the promise about him rising again, which we know that he kept. Yet when he does return, it will be a big surprise for those alive at the time. Just like the resurrection was a surprise for the disciples. Going back to the first Easter Sunday, you can imagine the despair of the disciples. Now, just a week before, they'd been there leading the throng on Palm Sunday, singing the Lord's praises, and now they're in a room in hiding, scared of that knock on the door, which was going to bring the authorities upon them. A day has gone by, and the reality of Christ's death has really begun to sink in. And then the women come rushing back into the room and everything changes. These disciples went from despair to disbelief. They just did not believe what the women were saying. Verse 11 tells us that they thought that the women were just talking nonsense, that they were confused. And this is one of the things that makes this account so authentic. If we were living back then, you would find a very different society to today. Back then, women were not trusted. They were not approached for a level-headed opinion. They were not allowed to give evidence in a court of law. They really were second-class citizens in a way which would absolutely shock everyone today if we spent some time studying it. You know, far worse than anything that happens in this country today, even though women are often not treated with the respect that they deserve. But back then, it was completely different. And we have to bear that in mind as we think about this resurrection account. Because if the disciples had decided to invent the story of the resurrection, which is what some people believe in our society, some of your family members, some of your friends, some of your neighbors, will believe that this story is all made up. If this story was made up, the last person that you would have discovering the empty tomb would be a group of women who were not considered as reliable witnesses. You wouldn't have them. You'd have a reliable witness discovering the tomb that was empty, wouldn't you? Someone that the people would trust. So the fact that we've got the women being recorded as the ones discovering the empty tomb in all of the Gospels shows how authentic these events are. Because you would only write this down if it was true history. If you were making it up, you'd have a leading disciple, maybe Peter, discovering the tomb. Well, Peter, when he hears the story of these women, he decides to show a little bit of faith. And he goes to the tomb to see if there's any truth in the nonsense that the women had been sharing. And when he arrives, he finds it just like the women said. And there is more evidence that Jesus' body had not been stolen. Because that's another idea that people have, that Jesus' body was just stolen. The linen strips with which the body had been bound were still in the tomb. If someone was going to steal the body, they would not have left the linen behind. They would have taken the wrapped body. It would have taken a while to unwrap it, and that sort of theft was very illegal in those days. So the fact that the linen had been left behind indicates that something remarkable had happened. It indicates that Jesus rose again. So Peter, he's willing to confront his doubt, and this willingness to get to the bottom of it gives us more evidence that the resurrection really happened, just like Jesus said it would. What we have to recognize is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first Easter Sunday is one of the easiest points of Christianity to defend. When it's recounted in the Gospels, it only makes sense if this is real history. We see this in the surprise of Jesus' followers and disciples. They just did not expect Jesus to rise again. And then when we put the Gospel accounts together, there are many different points which point to the fact that this really happened. Here in Luke's Gospel, we have the importance of the women being the primary witnesses, then the importance of the linen cloths left behind. In the other Gospels, we see that the tomb was guarded, making theft of the body impossible. It was guarded because the religious leaders had done what the disciples hadn't. The religious leaders had listened to Jesus' teaching and believed. Well, they'd understood what Jesus had said. They hadn't believed he'd rise again. But they were expecting the disciples to try and steal the body. So they put a guard on the tomb, making it impossible for a group of fishermen to steal it. And when we see how disorganized the disciples were, we couldn't imagine them organizing that sort of theft. The idea that the people went to the wrong tomb is also nonsense. The women witnessed the burial of Jesus. And if they had gone to the wrong tomb and started making claims that Jesus rose again, it would have been the work of a moment to go to the right tomb and bring out Jesus' body. Yet in all the events that happened in Jerusalem in the following weeks, which of course got to Pentecost, the fact that Jesus' body was never produced by the authorities just speaks of how his resurrection really happened. For us today, this means that this is a message that we can trust in. We can trust the Lord's word. And it helps us to recognize that this is a really important message that we have to share with the people all around us. We all know that something is very wrong when people die. Everyone who has gone through the pain of losing a loved one knows that death is just not right. And the reason for this is because God created man with eternity in his heart. We were made to live forever. But because of that first rejection of God, because of that rebellion against him, because of that sin, then God changed the world. And we no longer live in the good world of the original creation. But instead, our rebellion has brought death into the world. Death was never part of the original creation, which is why when someone dies, it feels so wrong and unfair. It's also terrifying because we know that one day each of us will experience it ourselves and we will find out what is on the other side. During these dark COVID-19 days, more and more people have been thinking about death. Death is now on the news all the time. We see the interviews with the NHS staff who are there in the intensive care units. And we've heard them say how they've really struggled with seeing so many patients die. It has been really hard for them. And people have had all sorts of members of their families and their friends suddenly snatched away. Even people who are fit and healthy, who usually don't think about our mortality, have been reminded that a simple virus can quickly bring an end to our lives. In the face of the certainty of our own death, our only hope is the good news that Jesus has gone into death and then come back. He died, his death on the cross made it possible for the wages of sin to be cancelled out so that he can offer eternal life to all those who believe. And it's true that when people become Christians, they still have to die. But we have to remember that our death is more to do with replacing this sinful shell. Our souls will go to be with Jesus. Then when he returns, we will get a resurrection body just like his. A body that will not grow old, will not decay. A body that will not become sick. A body that will work properly. And I'm sure many of us long for the time when we have a body that works properly once again. Death has been defeated. Jesus has kept his promises and rose again. This is the good news that we must share with the people around us. Today, people's lives have been changed by COVID-19. We need to be ready to remind people that our lives are limited, but there is forgiveness and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to know that there is more to this life, that one day they will meet the resurrected, glorified Christ. And on that day, the only way to get a good result is to trust in him now. And the day that we get to meet him may be closer than we think. Jesus promised that he would rise again, and he rose again. Jesus has promised that he will return. And as this world gets darker, it could be any day now. And on the day that he returns, it will be an unexpected surprise. A surprise, a wonderful surprise, the best day ever for the believers who are alive on that day. But for those who do not know him, it will be a terrible day. So we need to be able to get out there and share the gospel message and warn people that one day they will meet the risen Lord Jesus. And on that day, that they can have a pleasant surprise rather than a terrible surprise. Amen.